Be seated, please. It's not in the sermon, but I think it grabs me every time we read that passage from Luke's gospel. That Dives, which is the name we've given to the rich man, I think it may mean rich man in Greek, I'm not sure, it's just tradition. Still has the gall to say, send Lazarus over there for you to bring me a little water. Talk about somebody not getting it. Well, there's a kind of connection to something here about publishing, maybe. There's something wonderful about the way the New Revised Standard Version, and I like the title, but is the title of the version of the Bible that we read, translates this verse from Paul's letter to Timothy. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. A root of all kinds of evil. Most of us heard over the years, money is the root of all evil. That was always a misquote, and it is ubiquitous. Money, Pink Floyd. You might recognize it as the song that begins with the sound of something being rung up on a cash register, which stays in the background for the rest of the song. Not all the lyrics are pertinent, not by a long shot, but these are money. So they say is the root of all evil today. That's rock and roll from 1973. Everyone pointed it this way, and it's still been. It's always been the love of money. What if we substituted fear of loss for love of money? Most of us, I think, would say that we are not obsessed with becoming richer and richer. But how many of us can say that we're not frightened by the prospect of becoming dependent on others, or living on the street, or having to downsize to the point of not having a sufficiently comfortable life, or somewhere in that spectrum, or beyond either end of it? Just guessing here, perhaps projecting my own inner anxiety onto others, that the fear of loss is a stronger strain among us ordinary folks living in this part of the world than wanting to get rich. It's not an easy thing to confess, this anxiety, because I believe it's a sign of spiritual weakness, at least as I experience. We believe in some way or another that God will provide everything we need. Yet money matters can send me into that fear and lack of trust before I know what's happening. I'll let you in a little secret. I just read page 2 of the sermon before I read page 1. We'll see if it hangs together. I was saying earlier, it's always been the love of money. But beyond that, this more accurate translation that we have in the NRSV, the New Revised Standard, reminds us that there are other roots and other evils. Thirst for power, pride, and egotism are a few more roots, for example, and evils. You and I know that they're practically endless. Though they tend to be variations on the theme of disregarding and exploiting others in pursuit of benefits for ourselves. Before moving away from that reading, we do well to note Paul's take on the consequence of these behaviors. Wandering from faith and being pierced with pains. Like the pains of anxiety or worry. Maybe obsession with money. be a good 21st rephrasing of love of money. It's no coincidence that our passage from 1 Timothy comes in late September at a time when many parishes are asking people to make their pledges for the following year. And we all get it. How we spend our money is important, and it says a lot about us. We want our money to help others. We Christians do. Not merely provide a comfortable place to worship on Sunday. We all know that. And Epiphany does about as well as anyone could expect, given our size and the financial resources at our disposal. So, this is not the prelude to asking you to give more, or to give till it hurts, or give till it feels good, or any of those other phrases. This is about our relationship to money. What our Lord gives us in the parable of Dives and Lazarus, the rich man and the beggar, is an opportunity to reflect on our relationship with all that God has given us. How do I spend my money, my time, my prayers, my emotional energy? If you're waiting for me to tell you this is exactly how you should do that in detail in each of these areas, you have a long way to go. Instead, I have an invitation for all of us to look at how we spend our time and energy, and yes, money. The energy-money connection is a good one, I think. The more we devote to worry about and anxiety over anything, especially in light of today's reading, over money and finances, the less time we're apt to devote to gratitude to God for the incredible, unpredictable, wonder-filled lives we've been granted. As soon as I wrote those lines, I thought about how much it sounds like the fear of scarcity. Oh, if we spend energy here, we won't have it to spend over here. But we have time for both worry and gratitude. God has given us an incredible capacity for thought, imagination, and inspiration. We just need to be good stewards of all that. As a parish, taking the heat off each of us as an individual for the moment, we need to embrace that gratitude, that assurance of God's abundance. We've come through some pretty challenging times already, just in my time here, and by God's grace and your generosity, which, let's be clear, is a manifestation of God's grace. We are here today, together, singing, literally singing, the praises of a God who sees us through all things. Not just to get through to the other side of the difficulty. I find myself tending in that direction sometimes, just let me get through this. But it's not just getting through to the other side of it. Because our lives are full of things to get through to the other side of. It's much richer than that. We pray for God to be with us during those difficulties, revealing to us that the divine is all around us, in our hearts, in our community, in our connection with each other. My son Ben gave me a little watercolor kit when I was pretty much confined to the house for a few days. It has had a virtually transformative power on me, or influence on me. I haven't produced any great, even significant, art. Couldn't tell whether the little sketch I did for Sherry's birthday card looked more like a yellow rose or a meringue. But the process is one that helps me lose track of time, a little bit at a time. And I feel that it helps me enter into God's time, free from what I usually do with that commodity of time, left to my own devices. It's a humble little example, but I pray that you too have ways of doing the same, meditation or exercise or reading or anything that helps you to be grateful for this amazing life we've been given. If our little church and our worship together can help to offer to those who come through our doors that bit of calm, a few moments of entering into God's time, a sense of gratitude for all the gifts we have received, I believe we are doing God's work, following God's will for us in the world, carrying on the message that love is stronger than fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.